Let's move to the Upper Mississippi River now, the big river in the West. We saw earlier how David Farragut had captured New Orleans at the end of April in 1862, the great prize on the Mississippi. He then had moved on against Baton Rouge. The North also took steps on the northern reaches of the Mississippi, where the Confederates had strong fortifications in several places. After Belmont was abandoned, the Confederate position at Belmont as part of Albert Sidney Johnston's general withdrawal, that left the next major Confederate installation at a place called Island No. 10. It was a big bend in the Mississippi River near New Madrid, Missouri, just across the river from the northwest tip of Tennessee. It was called Island No. 10 because it was the 10th island south of the confluence of the Ohio and Mississippi Rivers. Confederates had strong positions there with which they could hold up Union progress downriver. So the North had to find a way to get rid of that position at Island No. 10. March 1862, a force that included 20,000 troops under Major General John Pope, who would of course end up in Virginia for the Second Manassas Campaign, together with a mixture of ironclads and other vessels under Andrew Foote, approached Island No. 10. They had very little success early on, however, until one of Foote's subordinates, a man named Captain Henry Walk, who was commander of the ironclad Carondelet, suggested that he would run his vessel past the batteries at Island No. 10, get below the southern position, and try to make it untenable. He lashed a barge piled high with hay to the side of his vessel, and in the midst of really a furious thunderstorm on the night of April 4th, 1862, he built up a full head of steam and raced past the Confederate positions. Took some damage, but not much. He then attacked Confederate shore batteries once he was below Island No. 10 and was shortly joined by another of the poop turtles that had run past the island. And together, those two vessels helped Pope transport some of his troops into position to reduce the island. The Confederates abandoned the place on April 8th, 1862, the day after Shiloh. The next target was Memphis, Tennessee, for the Union naval forces. Andrew Foote stepped aside because of health, replaced by a flag officer named Charles H. Davis. And in May of 62, Davis engaged a small group of Confederate rams. The Federals actually had the short end of this fight. Two of the ironclads, Cincinnati and Mound City, were sunk, rammed and sunk. They were raised quickly and put back into good repair, but it was a momentary success for the Confederates, but only momentary. In early June, Davis's flotilla sailed against Memphis. The Confederates sent a little fleet out to engage them, eight Confederate vessels, including those rams that had fought earlier. And on June 6th, 1862, with large crowds on the banks of the river watching, these two fleets engaged in what could only be called a free-for-all. The end result, seven of the eight Confederate vessels were sunk, burned, or captured. Memphis had fallen to the United States, another success for the Navy. The biggest success on the Mississippi after the capture of New Orleans, of course, came at Vicksburg, which we have talked about in quite a bit of detail. We've talked about how the Confederates controlled only that 250 miles of river between Port Hudson in Louisiana and Vicksburg in Mississippi, their strong points, and how Grant tried hard to get at Vicksburg through the winter of 62 and into the spring of 63, and how he decided finally that the only way to get his army in position was to run the naval vessels past those long lines of batteries at Vicksburg so that Grant's soldiers could be ferried across the Mississippi south of Vicksburg. The naval officer in charge was David Dixon Porter. We've talked about him before. He wasn't thrilled about the idea, as I said. He thought it would be dangerous for his vessels, but he would carry out Grant's orders. He learned, did Porter, that there'd be a grand ball in Vicksburg on the night of April 16th, 1863. He thought that might divert Confederate attention. He made that the target night. He lashed transports and gunboats to the sides of his ironclads, told the ships to put all pets ashore, all dogs, so there wouldn't be barks as the vessels moved toward Vicksburg. He wanted it absolutely quiet. He had cotton bales stacked on the decks to give further protection, and in pitch black that night, the ships moved toward the imposing bluffs of Vicksburg. Before they'd gone far, however, Confederate sentries picked them up. They lit the bonfires I talked about before, huge bonfires alongside the river that illuminated the approaching Union vessels.